is Common Sense Radio. Straightforward and no excuses.
All right. Come on now.
This is the Steve Gruber Show.
Call me crazy.
Ooh, yeah.
What I said was perfectly right and spot on accurate.
Boy's got a mouth like a cannon, always shooting it all.
Stop. Yeah, stop. I mean, you're way off script.
Got it in me. Gonna quit until it all comes out.
Hey, boy.
Yeah, you know, it's not cynical, it's common sense.
Pay attention to me when I'm talking to you.
I'm gonna rock the nation.
Genuine, accountable, and raw. Here is Steve Gruber.
And welcome to it. It is Monday here at the Steve Gruber Show. Look forward to your input. 888-900-9966. Wet weekend, to say the least. More than 2 inches of rain falling in parts of southern Michigan. More rain on the way likely today across big portions of the state. So flood watches and flood warnings in effect for, well, a lot of different locations. Of course, keep track of that locally wherever you may be. 17 stations across the great state bringing you the Steve Gruber Show on the Michigan Talk Network today. So a lot of the stations are in those areas where you're going to see some serious rainfall. A lot of 3 inches of rain falling between Lansing and Grand Rapids yesterday. 2 inches in Lansing, 1.2 inches in Ann Arbor, 1.12 in Flint. So that whole middle belt of the state getting just pummeled with heavy rain a short period of time. So keep an eye on that. But more rain likely and on the way. So it's been something like 10 days now. 10 days now since two young men decided to go ahead and check out of the hotel. The hotel for convicted killers. The Shawshank Redemption, the whole just incredible. David Sweat, Richard Matt decided they were going to leave. They got a few power tools from a woman they had convinced that they're good guys. But state police there, describing the manhunt as demoralizing in many ways. The state police trying to make sure that they're the ones that catch these guys, that they get all of the credit. As a result, they're not making full use of the assets that are available to them. That's one of the accusations out there. But I guess my question is, okay, so they were gone maybe on Friday night, I think is what it was, and they were discovered missing last Saturday morning. So where do you go? If this woman failed to show up to give them the ride, right? What do? You need a plan B all of a sudden. Okay, Shane, you escaped from prison. Your ride's not there. You know you've got, I don't know, 3-4 hours maybe before they all get on your tail. What do you do? Where do you go?
Run. Physically run.
Now, but the dogs are on them now.
Well, the dogs, probably they didn't discover them for several hours. And yes, bloodhounds are magnificent nose dogs. But you would hoof it. You're in an area.
The guy's 48 years old, though. He's kind of an older white.
It's a suburban area.
That's true.
So the first thing you do is look at every car who leaves the keys in at night. You just keep looking and looking and looking. No cars were reported stolen, apparently. That'd be the first thing they would look for.
Yeah, but I think, here's the thing. They're looking in local areas there. I don't think they're anywhere to be found.
Well, they got something. Yeah. They got out of there somehow. They got a ride. They didn't get the woman, but they hijacked the car, took the person with them, hasn't been reported missing, something. They got out of that area because they're doing a thorough search.
Unless the car was left for them. Where would you hide?
Where would I hide?
Yeah, where would you hide? Where would you go? You'd stick out a little bit different because if you're in a men's prison, something's terribly wrong.
Let's see. Well, depending on where, I mean, I would think to find any way possible to hide, whether it be down a sewer,
which is what they popped out of to begin with.
Right. Run a sewer line until you can't possibly anymore. I mean, there are lots of different possibilities. You can, as Shane said, look for a car, steal a car, look for an abandoned shed or barn.
Where are they now? That's probably the question. I don't think they're anywhere around. They keep focusing on these little towns in upstate New York. I think they've been gone since midday Saturday. I think that they found a car that was unsecured, or they found something that hasn't been reported. It has to be.
Well, if they haven't found them, yeah, that's probably the most likely scenario.
I don't think that. Well, one of the stories that I saw is that they're holed up somewhere in a rental, a vacation type home that they knew was not going to be occupied for a period of time where they could just, hunker down and ride out the storm, wait till the patrols got a little less and the police backed off, the media got bored and left, that sort of thing. I find that hard to believe because they're going door to door, house to house. Those dogs are fabulous. The dogs don't miss. I've been around these these sort of things where they're looking for missing children and so forth with these dogs. They don't miss.
Well, one thing they could do, it's just, if you popped into somebody's garage, found an antique car or a classic car, something that somebody doesn't drive all the time.
And slid out.
Slid out, closed the door. Nobody's gone out to make sure that vehicle's there and could be gone. You could take a riding lawnmower and been gotten farther, without anybody noticing it.
A riding lawnmower. All right, I'm not buying that theory.
Well, I'm just saying tractors. There's other facilities. A four wheeler, an ATV, the side
an ATV maybe, a quad, a Rhino, a Yamaha type thing. Yeah, Polaris
somebody
Ranger.
that hasn't noticed it's gone.
That would get them every day because all they'd have to do is break out of that first circle.
Yeah, and wouldn't that draw a little bit of attention to guys on a tractor putting down the road?
That wasn't my idea,
I just think it's a funny visual, that's all.
It is. Thank you.
It is a funny visual. It is 12 after the hour on this Monday. Your thoughts at 888-900-9966, 888-900-9966. Apparently your crops got enough rain over the weekend because...
We planted... all the raspberry plants for you pick. And it was strange last week when we needed rain, it would finish a half mile north of us and a half mile south of us and just kept missing that close. But I think this weekend we're good.
Yeah, I think you might have. Luckily, you're on a hill this weekend. Otherwise, you'd be flooded out completely. I mean, at the pond, Ivy and I were out there doing a fishing expose, as you saw on Facebook. Actually, I put on the clinic and then other folks caught fish too. I had a pretty good day though, and the kids loved it. It was a great weekend between showers. It got really hot, but between showers, the fish were biting to beat the band, which was great. So anyhow, still to come this morning, we're going to talk about Governor Rick Snyder being hailed as a moderate by some, but he signed these bills that some say discriminate against the LGBT and against single people when it comes to adopting kids. And I wonder, what this is going to say about adoption going forward, because we've had these conversations before here that, you'd rather have the kid in a loving home. But the governor said if you're a religious organization, you have an adoption agency, that you can, in fact, say no from time to time. You can say, I don't want to work with this couple because they're gay or lesbian or LGBT or a single family. They don't want them to go to a single family. Hold on one second, though. We're going to go to the hotline. Bill is in Charlotte this morning on the two guys on the run on their antique John Deere tractor. Bill, welcome to the program.
Good morning, sir. Yep, I just had a theory. How about if there's a good body of water they could get on and steal a boat and get out of state?
They are in New York. There are a lot of lakes around. I don't know how close they were to a lake of size. But they wouldn't. Again, they didn't have to get that far. They could just separate, put a few miles between them and the main search corridor, an area they could, buy themselves some time to make a new plan. But I like the boat idea.
I was thinking a boat would get them out of the area without anybody really looking for them, on the road or anything, or roadblocks or anything. They could bypass all of them.
I like that theory, but I wonder if they're looking at that. I'm going to look at the map now. Bill, thank you for checking in from Charlotte. The phone number, 888-900-9966.
Michigan's radio program of record is The Steve Gruber Show. Here is Steve Gruber.
It's 18 after the hour. Steve Gruber Show, if you'd like to join the conversation, 888-900-9966. Always appreciate your input. You can find out more at stevegruber.com or on Facebook. Go to the Steve Gruber Show. Click like, and then tell your friends, of course. You can post up on there things that are on your mind or things that you're concerned about. Post up there. We try to get to them as best we can. Stevegruber.com. You can go to the radio portion. Click the radio portion and listen live so you can take us to work. And Radio Pup will get me there, too. Radio Pup on your smartphone. Find WJIM Jim is the home base, and you can take us everywhere you go, anywhere you may travel. Our next guest, Kyle Malin from MERS News, here to talk about the governor signing in these adoption protection law, I guess is what they're being referred to. Kyle, welcome to the program.
Hey, good to be here, Steve.
A lot of pushback on these new laws. I don't know if it's pushback is the right term anymore. A lot of screaming and ranting and raving because the LGBT community feels that the governor has gone against his moderate promises and done something they feel is discriminatory against them. What do you think?
I thought it was really interesting he signed those bills, Steve. I thought that he would put a little more thought behind them than he did. He basically signed them the day after they came to him. It makes me wonder if there's something a little larger in scope here. It's not just about these bills, but maybe it's about trying to earn some goodwill with the legislature, or maybe that there was a behind-the-scenes deal cut. I'll go ahead and sign these because it doesn't really make sense on its own. You know, I mean, these are going to be challenged by the ACLU in court. You know, it's an open question whether they're going to, stand up in court. So it makes you wonder why he would put the state through something like this if he didn't have some other plan in mind.
Well, I guess we'll have to see a bit. I mean, honestly, if you're a Catholic charity and you have an adoption program through, Catholic Charities, you wouldn't entertain a gay couple coming in and adopting children. It does go against their beliefs. So what's the protection for the Catholic Church if this goes to court and the ACLU shows up and fights the Catholic Church or whatever religious organization it may be? You know, at some point, I'm not putting the state through, but you got to draw the line somewhere, don't you?
I suppose. I guess I think of it more politically or more strategically than just politically, because the state was already doing this. You know, this was already a policy in place. There's no threat of it going away until Snyder left office. So why sign it now? Why sign it in June of 2015? You know, why not sign it as he was leaving office if there was a threat that some, a later administration was going to revoke it if it was that important to him? Obviously, it was important to Senator Arlen Meekhoff, the Senate Majority Leader, and that's why it went through. And so, you look back, and Snyder was never a big fan of, let's just say, the film credits, okay?
Right.
And yet, he became all of a sudden an advocate for the film credits. Well, why did he do that? Well, it's because the Senate Majority Leader at the time, it was a big deal to him. And so the Snyder said, okay, I'll make it a big deal for me too. And I think this is the same thing here. I think it all comes back to roads. I think it comes back to the road funding debate. Snyder's got his particular ideas on what he wants with roads. And so in order to, kind of grease the wheels in the Senate, this is the price for poker.
Yeah, and that's the price you're going to pay is to step up in this one. It does seem, I was surprised that this went through and this gained as much attention as it did at this point at this point, period. I mean, you're right. I don't know what's to be gained by it. And Michigan is one of three states that was already restricting who could adopt anyway. It's a fine point you made.
Yeah, no, exactly. You know, if it was really that big of a policy issue, you think they would have just waited until the end of 2016, if the Senate was going to flip. This really kind of seems like a lame duck kind of issue. One of those things you sneak through in lame duck and cram through around Christmas with everything else. And, it kind of buries in publicity. But no, he did this right off the bat. And, it's kind of like prevailing wage. Why did he say prevailing wage was off the table right off the bat? Well, it's because he told the labor unions there that he didn't like it. And that was the price for poker. If you want us at the table, you got to say no to prevailing wage. It's kind of the same thing.
I mean, talking about politics and the price of poker, as you put it, for some reason, the Republicans all seem to be making a stop in Michigan. Governor Walker was here. Governor Bush, who's going to announce his presidency bid today, was here just a few days ago. John Kasich will be in town tomorrow. It's interesting to note that, does this mean that Michigan, somebody sees a crack in Michigan's Democratic armor overall at the presidential level?
I think it says more about Michigan State as a primary state as far as the primary election. We don't have one of the first primaries. Iowa and New Hampshire and South Carolina and Nevada got those locked up. But after those, and then you got the southern states right after that, and then you've got a group of Midwestern states, and Michigan's one of those. And you can really view Michigan as one of those states. It's one of the bigger states. You know, we're still one of the top 10 states in the country. And you know, if you can make some good headway in Michigan, you know, the wheels can be really greased for you going forward. Take a look at, you know, Mitt Romney and Rick Santorum just last time around. You know, if Santorum had pulled off an upset, Romney would have had a long row to hoe. But he won, and then he coasted after that. The wind really got taken out of Santorum's sails there. So I think it speaks to Michigan's importance in the presidential primary, and that's why folks are coming here. As far as the general election, yeah, it's still a blue state. We haven't gone red in a long time since 88. So I don't know if they're thinking that far ahead yet.
I guess the moving of the primary much earlier in the season has been good for the likes of me and you as a result, because they do all come here. Let's be honest. We need that kind of access. I'll give you 20 seconds for the last word.
I agree. I think it speaks to, you know, we like having presidential candidates here, and we'd like to feel like we're important. We're never going to be Iowa. We're never going to be New Hampshire. But since we're, you know, if we're one of the first big states, that's a big deal.
Yeah, make no mistake, Kyle, you'll always be important to me.
And you're always important to me, Steve. I can't wait to hear Kasich on your show.
Yeah, I can't either. I look forward to it. I suppose I might even see you over there. 25 after the hour. Thank you, Kyle.
Hey, my pleasure.
25 after the hour on a Monday here on the Steve Gruber Show. Yeah, John Kasich coming to town tomorrow, and we do hope to have a conversation with him here on the program. Check in on Wednesday morning for that. Where else but the Steve Gruber Show?
The Steve Gruber Show, jump-starting your day with the news that matters.
Excitable boy, they all said. And it bit the usher's leg in the dark. Excitable boy, they all said.
You know, he's just an excitable boy.
An excitable boy.
That's what I hear. 33 after the hour. I'm a little excitable sometimes. You know, I'm pretty calm normally. You know, I'm like just a big old fuzzball, you know. I'm not a threat to anybody. Everybody knows that. 33 after the hour is the Steve Gruber Show. Sweet and lovable. That's what my brother Shane always said. Because that was after he ran over my head with a bicycle, which we talked about last week. Mm-hmm. Ain't that right, Shane?
It is true.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Anyhow, so Shane brought to my attention here something, and Ivy and I have been here looking at a little bit. This plant called the giant hogweed. Giant hogweed, and it looks like a colossal version of Queen Anne's lace. I think that's a fair way to put it. It's just this giant version of Queen Anne's lace, big white flowers. And I wouldn't think anything of it, except if you get online and look at the reactions to giant hogweed, and this is a public health problem for you, your family, your pets react badly as well. It's like poison ivy times like 100.
Oh, it's a set of chemical burns. It's not even poison ivy. It's more like chemical burns. There is something in this, and we're going to find this out this week, something in the spine that produces a sap that produces chemical burns. If you get it in your eyes, you're permanently blind.
Yeah, you get it in your eyes and go blind. This ultra, and by the way, this giant hogweed is, the burns are just awful. I mean, just awful. It takes months, if not a year, to heal, and then leaves permanent scarring oftentimes.
Well, and there is a map, and I don't have it in front of me right now, but there's a map that shows where it's located. It is in Michigan. It's one of the few areas that's in Michigan. That's why we brought this up.
It's come across New York. It's come across New England. It's an invasive species from Europe. And it was brought in here originally by gardeners and so forth that wanted something cool in their garden. They didn't realize it was going to cause all these trouble. But I saw Ivy looking at these pictures of these burns, and she was aghast.
Yeah, wow. I mean, it looks like these people have been burned badly by either hot water or chemical burns. Like, you know, you leave bleach on your hands or something in that regard.
So we're making everybody aware of this because, I mean, my God, if you had a little kid like we have wandered to this.
Yeah, exactly. Little kids, or even imagine, you know, if your dog, like we have our new fluffy dog, runs into it, gets into it, and then you're in there with your face rubbing and loving on him. Can you imagine
The grief. So,
oh yeah,
Shane, you said this is when they show up to clear this out. They don't just show up with a shovel and an axe.
No, if you contact your local government of some sort, the Department of Agriculture seems to be the one that's taking care of this, and they have people that they show up in hazmat suits to remove this. They'll do a special test, or they make sure that they verify it's the right plant, and they take it apart and in hazmat suits
and remove it.
And they do not burn it on site.
Oh, God, no.
So
imagine getting that stuff in your lungs. So they shove and they remove this plant. This plant can be, by the way, as tall as 18 feet in some places. Now, it's most commonly between 6 and 7 feet when it's mature around here, from what we understand.
Yes, that's what we're learning right now. But like I said, we're going to try and get somebody in an official capacity this week to come and talk to us about it.
Because you have a suspect plant on your property.
Yes, my wife pointed it out the other day. Right now, it was only about 2 foot high, had no flowers on it, but the leaf appears to match what we've seen online.
So there you have it. I mean, and that's why I was bringing this to your attention. I do think this is a public health concern, but if you go, and this is how serious it is. Giant hogweed is on Snopes. When you guys want to go, you know, let's check out internet rumors and so forth. It's true. You know, one of those things that Snopes dispels internet rumors, you know, and gossip Correct. Nonsense and so forth. It just happened to pop up in one of my search engines here, so I decided to see what they had to say. Yes, it's 100% true that this plant can cause debilitating burns, permanent blindness, can damage you and your pets. I mean, it can obviously make your pets, not only can you do like Ivy, get down and you're, you know, rubbing on your dog who's got the sap all in its fur or something and cause great problems, but it can cause damage to your animal as well.
Yeah. So
pretty dangerous stuff.
Be on the lookout for sure.
Yeah. So it looks like a giant Queen Anne's lace flower. I mean, I don't know how else to describe it. That's how I would describe a giant Queen Anne's lace flower. And it's, you know, something to be on the lookout. It's called giant hogweed. Keep in mind on that. So I don't know how we say this word, fillet. But the lander, the comet lander, you know, the one out there and has been out there from the European Space Agency, sent out long ago, and it landed months ago. And it was pretty much thought to be a hopeless lost cause. Well, this probe that was the first spacecraft to land on a comet when it touched down on the icy surface of some comet that I don't even begin the ability to name. I mean, who names these things? Russians, clearly. After its historic landing, Fillet managed to conduct some experiments. And finally, it's back in contact. It operated for a brief period of time, a few hours. And then it's been silent for months. Well, it contacted for 85 seconds, for a minute and a half. It contacted here, back to Earth here recently, which gives people the hope that it's going to be back in circulation, I guess. What do we expect to learn from a comet, anyway?
Material and direction, et cetera, where they originated from. Could be a possibility that the comet has some kind of a metallic core that interrupts the transmission.
Oh, like an iron core?
Yes.
You're so smart.
Like a compass near an iron mine doesn't work.
You are so smart. Yeah. That's why we have him here. Look at the big brain on Shane. Look at the big brain on Shane. Today, the giant hogweed's going to get a drink, by the way, again. More than 3 inches of rain in some places. Some places between Lansing and Grand Rapids, just over 3 inches of rain. Ann Arbor, 2 inches. Detroit had 1.33. Flint at 1.12 so far. Bath, the little community of Bath in Clinton County, 3.4 inches in the last 24 hours. I mean, they got absolutely pounded. 3.4 inches in 24 hours of rain there. And more to come. Monday afternoon, especially tonight, another round of heavy rain. This is from the forecast from Mark Torregrossa. Heavy rain could move across the southern half of lower Michigan. Last rainfall forecast, and we show some areas getting another 1.5 to 2 inches of rain late today. One of those streaks of heavy rain could come across Ann Arbor, Detroit, and Lansing. We'll see as to where it pans out, but we're talking about ground that is already saturated. If this rain comes in, let's say, for example, Bath gets another big dump of rain today, or West Lansing or Ann Arbor, the whole southern core of Michigan could be experiencing flash flooding and trouble along the way. See, I've got a rain gauge in my backyard. It's the field back there. And wherever I see the field filled with water that, you know, impersonates a stream back there, then I know how much rain we've gotten. It's been that way since the beginning of time, hasn't it?
Well, you live in the house that we obviously grew up in now. And when it got bad, through the middle of fields, we would take a canoe out and play in the field.
1975, we had big flooding here in southern Michigan. It was 1975, I believe.
Yeah, we had like 5.5 inches in this general area.
In a short period of time, right? And then and a couple of dams broke, and it was chaos. But my brother and myself and others would canoe through the fields. You know, you've had a lot of rain when you're canoeing through cornfields. It's just one observation. It's 41 after the hour. Hopefully none of that today. But again, heavy rain on the way. Keep that in mind. Heavy rain on the way. 41 after the hour on the Steve Gruber Show.
This is the Steve Gruber Show, bringing you the news and newsmakers that affect you most.
Five after the hour on this Monday, we're going to need a bigger stable. We are going to need a bigger stable. Too many horses in the race for the Republican nomination. I mean, we filled one barn. Now we're on to our second barn, apparently. Jeb Bush going to get in the race today. John Kasich and Scott Walker and Chris Christie, not far behind. The governors are coming now. Walker will be here tomorrow. Excuse me, Kasich will be here tomorrow. Walker was here 2 weeks ago. Jeb was here last week. Kasich will be here tomorrow. So a lot of movement in the Republican field. Liz Peek here from FoxNews.com and the Fiscal Times. Liz, welcome back to the program.
Good morning. Nice to be with you.
So, all right, let's start with the Republicans first of all. Jeb, and it's just Jeb with an exclamation point to avoid his last name. It's denial, but there it is, Liz.
Well, look, I think Jeb's had a rugged start, and it's not too surprising because the right wing of the party, which, as we all know, is pretty influential in these early tests, whether it's Iowa or New Hampshire or South Carolina, are not particularly lined up behind Jeb Bush. And I think there's also growing concern that Jeb is sort of like Hillary. He's been around too long. Even if it isn't Jeb has been around too long, the Bushes have been around too long. And the country has sort of got its back up, I think, about coronation of another family, you know, sort of kingpin, and it's if indeed it's all about the money, again, that kind of rankles too. So, you know, look, I think the Republican side is a great free-for-all. I wish it were a horse race, because then we would have a really decided winner-take-all at some point, and instead I think it's going to be, gosh, many, many months of sort of one person surging into the lead after another, and sort of a, you know, for many, many months, a very inconclusive race. And the problem with that is it soaks up a huge amount of money that otherwise could go to presumably defeating Hillary Clinton. So there is good news on the Republican side. There are a lot of talented people. You mentioned John Kasich. I think I'm delighted he's going to come into the race. I think Marco Rubio is terrific. Scott Walker. There are a lot of great candidates, but we just don't want them all to, you know, it's a Pac-Man situation. We don't want them all to destroy each other as they get ready.
I think John Kasich, and you and I have talked about him a bit before. I'm going to spend some time with him tomorrow. He's going to be here in Michigan and meet and sit down with him and talk a little bit. But I don't think he's a destroyer. He's a guy who he kind of deflects that sort of nonsense. He doesn't get involved in that kind of gutter politics. At least that's been my experience with him. And I knew him in a different life when I was a reporter for NBC back in the day. And I interviewed him a few times when he was a congressman. He's not the kind of guy that jumps in the gutter, not easily, certainly.
Well, I think that's great, because we saw some of that even at a family fest, the Mitt Romney weekend event. You may have seen some of the candidates taking pot shots at each other. And, you know, again, I understand why Chris Christie kind of has to come out swinging at this point. He's really lagged behind. He's obviously a wounded duck at this point. But come on, folks. I mean, the only person who's going to benefit from that sort of competition is Hillary Clinton, presuming that she's the candidate. So I do think, as I say, I think it's a tremendous, you know, my favorite Republican candidate so far is Mitt Romney, because he got out.
Well.
I'd like to see more of that.
Yeah, there you go.
You know, George Pataki, do we really need Donald Trump in this race? I don't think so.
Well, Donald Trump, he never actually runs. It's always like, you know, anybody, I don't even buy into him. Right? He says he's going to run. Well, if he actually does, we'll talk about it. So let me ask you, what is up with the blue pantsuit? What is that, dude? Is that a fashion? I mean, let's get petty. Let's just go right to it. I don't like the look. I mean, it doesn't strike me as, you know, cutting edge and new, and we got great new ideas. It's the same thing right down to the blue pantsuit to me.
Yeah, it's interesting. Gail Sheehy has a column out this morning that Drudge picked up, basically talking about how Hillary has finally found herself. She's sort of the, you know, peppy grandmother who's also got a little bit of a sharp edge and blah, blah, blah. And there's the blue pantsuit, short blonde hair. Oh, my God, I thought she looked horrendous. But, you know, clearly she can't run as a 45-year-old, you know, whippersnapper. I mean, that's just not who she is. But I must say, I really didn't think she was particularly photogenic. I mean, really, really not photogenic. So far, honestly, I do believe this campaign has just been bizarre. Everything they do strikes me as crazy. Like, for example, having this event on Roosevelt Island, I understand the symbolism, and it's a beautiful little park out there that very few people go to see, the Four Freedoms Park. But, you know, first of all, it's hard for people to get there, so I don't know if you noticed, but there was a place where the main supporter group could be, and then there was an overflow lot for people. Like, they figured they'd have a standing, you know, standing room only crowd. Unfortunately, they didn't have anyone there, so there was a whole big screen video broadcasting the thing, but nobody to watch.
And nobody there, nobody. Here's the thing, okay, and you're right, it's bizarre. Okay, you had the book tour last year that fell flat when she claimed to be broke. Then she had the launch on video that was basically the same thing she did 8 years ago, and now we're kind of doing the relaunch, the reboot, the let's try this one more time thing. I don't get it.
Well, I don't think she's, here's the thing. I don't think Hillary is a very good politician. Bill is an excellent politician. I don't think Hillary is, and I think Hillary's advisors continually kind of shift her one way or another. I think they very much have put Bill out of the picture right now. I don't think he's really weighing in. My guess is that'll cause friction down the road because she's not doing very well. Here she is, for heaven's sakes, a totally unopposed candidate, really unopposed, and she continually gets herself into trouble. I mean, my gosh, if you're running with nobody, virtually nobody running against you, you'd think it would be pretty clear sailing, but it has not been that. So I think, you know, again, like on this event on Saturday, you know, word came out that the reporters covering it were not allowed to talk to anyone in the audience. So what does that suggest?
Yeah, exactly.
Does that mean there were handpicked people for the audience, or they thought maybe people would say, well, I'm not really for Hillary, I just want to see the park? I don't know what. I mean, that's just stupid, right?
Yeah, exactly. Don't let anybody talk to anybody. We've got nothing to say, nothing to see here, but elect me president. Liz, it is bizarre. I think that's a good way to put it, just bizarre. Liz Peek, always a pleasure.
Thanks for having me. Take care.
There you have it. Just sorting through it quickly, you know, and it's the launch, the book tour, the relaunch, and the retread, and it's, is it any different? 52 after the hour, you decide on the Steve Gruber Show.